Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. As we make the transition from 2022 to 2023, where is the TV diversity train going? Media Village columnist and multicultural TV talk host Juan Ayala scopes out directions when he joins me next. Also on track, Game of Thrones spinoff Outlook, Netflix's Workout Day, our final classic trivia winner this year, and a few predictions about next year. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and other great podcast destinations. This just in, it's the eve before New Year's Eve 2022, and tomorrow will be televised. Wherever you are, thank you for joining us for this final edition in 2022 of the program about TV's current and future. Would you believe it is 55 degrees at this very hour here in New Weber York? And the outlook is that tomorrow night, New Year's Eve, is going to be here in the Big Apple, one of the warmest in recent years, and maybe one of the wettest also. We will see. We'd love to have you aboard and be with us and interactive with our guests and yours truly. All you have to do to do that is pick up the phone and give us a call. The number you use is 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. We also have our chat room business for you. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. While the promo is on the air, as always, you can connect others, interact with them by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn screen, follow those instructions, and others will be live with you. And Juan Ayala will be live with me here in the Big Apple after our final group of news notes for this year. On the heels of House of the Dragon's success this year, can we expect more Game of Thrones offshoot series next year or beyond on HBO and HBO Max? Well, doubts are getting a workout, and game creator George R.R. Martin is raising those doubts. In a blog post going public this morning, Martin acknowledged a couple of successor series are off the series map in their development pipeline, thanks to recent series drops at HBO Max and parent Warner Bros. Discovery. Other game spinoff projects remain under review. Martin added the planned TV adaptation of his Wild Cards anthology books continues in development at Peacock. Netflix launched a new side of its content offering today, workout videos provided by Nike's Training Club Venture. 46 videos covering various exercises, fit techniques, and yoga are now available, with another 44 available next year. They are not interactive compared to such as services like Apple Fitness Plus, as well as Beachbody and Peloton. Remember Drop Dead Diva, Lifetime's offbeat scripted fantasy series? Well, Hallmark Movies and Mysteries will bring Diva replays to its weekday lineup January 2nd, playing two-hour-long episodes back-to-back from 5 to 7 p.m. Brooke Elliott starred as a lawyer serving his home for an aspiring model killed in a car crash and getting a second chance to make good in life. The series ran on Lifetime from 2009 to 2014, as creator and producer Josh Brennan was a guest on this program during Diva's first season on Lifetime. You can still get a chance to hear that episode, which I think is one of our classics from that year, at blogtalkradio.com/televised, and I believe it also may be at our website, tomorrowbetelevised.onpodium.com. Now our final quickies of the year. PBS will bring back its annual United in Song special for the third time tomorrow night. Renee Fleming hosts. And Peacock will kick off 30-minute recaps of the annual Dakar rally race from Saudi Arabia New Year's Day. More than 550 competitors will drive across 5,000-plus miles of Saudi terrain. All sorts of Saudi terrain. And that is our final group of news notes for today and 2022. And now joining me here in New York, I am delighted he is our final guest of the year. He is one of Media Village's best columnists, Media Village being the wonderful Media Leisure website, which yours truly also writes for. He is also the host of the very popular video series, The Multicultural TV Talks. It is a pleasure to welcome to this program, and I'm about to get him on. There we go, Juan Ayala. Juan, happy new year, nearly, and Feliz Nuevo, Año Nuevo to you.
Feliz Año Nuevo. Thank you so much, Simon. Thank you for having me.
It is a pleasure. So as you get ready to turn the corner from one year to the next, what pops up as you think the biggest developments in terms of TV diversity?
I mean, just looking at the total landscape, a lot of particular underrepresented groups, the diversity has increased so much across the board in just the last 5 years. If you just look at what television was 10 years ago, a lot of these different series on television, especially and even in commercials, casting in commercials. I know tons of actors who have talked about, and, you know, throughout my podcast, including Multicultural TV Talk, how in the last 5 years, their commercial bookings have, you know, quadrupled or quintupled compared to just 5 years ago, because authenticity is king right now across all types of media. And I think it's definitely moving in the right direction.
What directions are you seeing that suggest that it is moving in the right direction, whether it is what's happening both on camera as well as off camera, behind the scenes?
So the number of showrunners, producers, writers, and, of course, directors who are from, again, underrepresented groups has definitely increased over the last couple of years. You have shows like Abbott Elementary by Quinta Brunson, who, you know, is an incredibly critically acclaimed show that also is wonderfully diverse. But you have that level of authenticity where you have people who lived those experiences who are writing the shows. They get to tell their own stories. And another example, I think, is Reservation Dogs, which is the number one show of the year, at least on my top 10 list. Same thing. A lot of the actors who I've interviewed from the show have said that, you know, they've been waiting for the chance to tell their own stories. And now they finally get the chance to, with Sterling Harjo and Taika Waititi, both of indigenous backgrounds, running the show. They have a fully indigenous writer's room. Their crew is mostly indigenous. All of their directors are. All of their lead cast is indigenous. And just seeing that level of authenticity come in, it's not just, it's beyond tokenism. It's not just like we have a diverse cast, you know, pat us on the back. More everyone being allowed to tell their own stories and bring that extra level of authenticity into the room and on screen.
Mm-hmm. I'm happy you mentioned Reservation Dogs, because one of the trends I think both of us have seen this year is that we are seeing more programming, a real breakout of programming that is being put together by Native Americans or Indigenous Americans. Dark Woods, Dark Water on AMC. You mentioned Reservation Dogs. Wizard Falls had a second season on Peacock. More recently, the launch of Three Pines, which has an Indigenous plotline on Prime Video. We had Tracy Deer, who is a Mohawk Indian, who is a consultant on the show. She also directed two of the episodes. And we also have Red Nation, which you might say is the Netflix for Native American content. We had Janelle Romero, the head of that service, on our program this summer. And you just get a sense that finally, at long last, Native Americans are getting their TV due, or at least starting to.
Yes, absolutely. You know, they are severe. They're, I believe if you look at statistics, they are the most underrepresented group in media across the board, especially in television. In film, you have a bit more of a level of representation. But in television, before shows like Reservation Dogs, Rutherford Falls, Dark Winds, like you said, there was just not a lot of representation for them. And if it was, then they were, a guest star for an episode or two, or just used as a plot device or something like that. And it wasn't the most positive representation. They were sort of reduced to tropes and stereotypes. And, of course, that's not the type of representation any of us want. We want impactful storylines and fleshed out characters, and not to be reduced to, you know, the drug dealer Latino, or the horseback riding, loincloth clad Native American, or things like that. We want that that level of positive, impactful, meaningful representation. I think that's definitely occurred with all the shows that we mentioned. And I also want to shout out on ABC series Alaska Daily with Hilary Swank is bringing an incredible amount of awareness to the missing and murdered Indigenous women and people in a lot of reservations. Their amount of homicide cases that go uninvestigated or remain cold, and the suicide rate is I think 5 times the national average on any given reservation. And it's something that's not talked about. And that show, Alaska Daily, and Reservation Dogs, of course, anyone that knows the show knows that they do bring a lot of awareness to suicide with their character, with the fifth member of their group, whose name is escaping me. But I just think that it's wonderful that these series are given the chance to raise that awareness that otherwise would go completely unnoticed.
And we should point out before moving forward that Graham Rowland, one of the executive producers of Dark Winds, was on Tomorrow We Televise this summer. We enjoyed having him, and the show has been renewed for a second season on A&E. Mm-hmm. If you want to check out that episode and others, including the Three Pines episode I mentioned that we did earlier this month with Tracy Deer, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televise. Juan Ayala is with us this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise, our final episode of 2022 coming away from New York. He is one of the top columnists at Media Village, the Media Leadership website, which he truly also writes for. And he is also the host of the Multicultural TV Talk video series. We'll talk about that shortly. If a question or comment for Juan or yours truly, make a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Our first two episodes of 2023 will come your way this coming Tuesday and Thursday. We'll bring you coverage of CES 2023, which will be taking place in Las Vegas that week. And on Thursday, we have a special two-hour episode, and boy, we have some wonderful guests for you. We will talk about a brand-new venture that intends to make its mark in terms of new services called Best Ever Channels. They're doing both channels with original content, like an adaptation of the popular magazine Spin, as well as library content. We'll speak with Co-Chief Executive Officer Jonathan Barbato. He will be our lead guest. And speaking of Media Village, Chief TV Critic Ed Martin will be joining us on the program as well. And our final guest will be a marvelous star who's shined on all sorts of TV and film projects. You may remember her with Julia Roberts making her debut in the marvelous movie Mystic Pizza way back when in the 80s. She also was in the Showtime series Brotherhood that ran three seasons. And she is now one of the Mayfairs on AMC's Anne Rice's Mayfair Witches that premieres a week from Sunday in a five-network simulcast, AMC, AMC Plus, Sundance TV, IFC, and BBC America. The wonderful Annabeth Gish will be our final guest on next Thursday, January 5th. And the following Monday, January 9th, our lead guest will be from the Netflix series Vikings Valhalla, starting its second season that week, executive producer and showrunner Jeff Stewart. And we'll also find out about a company called Obsession Media that's also trying to put together a bunch of channels. They've got one already through smart TV sets and devices called Outdoor America. And later in 2023, they're launching a motorsports channel called Speed Sports One. Founder Chief Executive Officer Nick Rose will be aboard. That's all coming up next week and the week after, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here exclusively on Tomorrow We Televise. Juan, how is your multicultural talk series going?
It is currently on a little hiatus due to the holidays and so many folks being, you know, taking advantage of their couple weeks off of production to travel, to spend time with family. But we will definitely be back in January. We hit our 50th episode this year, and it has been weekly since then. And it's just been so exciting to have such wonderful guests and get to have these conversations that focus on diversity and representation and inclusion in media and entertainment. And when speaking with some TV veterans, recently we had Jimmy Smith, who is on the CBS series East New York, and Constance Marie, who many folks know from Mi Familia, on PBS years ago, and the George Lopez show. And she was recently a guest on George Lopez's new sitcom on NBC, Lopez versus Lopez. And we got to talk to her about her reunion with George on the show and talking with them about how much the industry has changed since they got started. And it's just been so great to hear that. Constance especially got a bit emotional when speaking about it, because when she said she was on the George Lopez show, she had these two young actors, Luis Armand Garcia and Marcela Lucia, who played her children on the series. And she recalled that she would think to herself, looking at them on set and behind the scenes and all of that, thinking these kids are never going to live in a world where they don't feel represented, because in their cases, they were representing their own culture on the show. And she just talked about how many strides have been made since then. You've had, you know, back in the day, you have a lot of white actors who are not Latino, who are not Hispanic, playing Hispanic roles, putting on funny accents, putting on bronzer and tanning and all of that, instead of giving a chance to a Hispanic or Latino actor who can play the role authentically, and how far the industry has come since then. So it's been so wonderful. And of course, anyone listening can listen to our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, MediaVillage.com. You can follow us on Twitter and get all those updates. And yeah, I'm excited for what is to come.
Mm-hmm. Who was your favorite interview this year? Was it Constance or someone else?
Ooh, Constance is up there. But I had such a wonderful time speaking with Jimmy Smith, who was just so delightful to chat with. And, you know, he's had such a wonderful career between L.A. Law and NYPD Blue. He's been in the Star Wars films. He's still in those Star Wars series as his character, Bail Organa, you know, Princess Leia's father, or adoptive father. And it was just so wonderful to hear his perspective and his surprise when he was pitched to join the cast of East New York, because he grew up in East New York. He never thought that they would ever make a TV show about it, especially one centered on the police and police reform, which is a big focal point of the show. You know, most television shows that focus on the police that takes place in New York are usually Manhattan precincts. A lot of them don't even film in New York, like Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And he also pointed out NYPD Blue filmed in Los Angeles, which is more often the case than not. And it's he just talked about how wonderful it is to have a female lead in the show and to have police reform be a big focal point of the series and community. And it's just so wonderful to chat with him. He is a huge inspiration for me and definitely someone that I felt represented me for the first time when I was a kid, seeing him in the Star Wars movies and in films like Pride and Glory and so many other wonderful projects. And Constance, of course, was incredible to be able to speak with her about all of the same things too.
One of my favorite interviews this year was early on during Black History Month with Joe Morton, wonderful actor from Scandal, did a show in New York for two seasons on CBS, speaking of CBS shows, God mm-hmm. Friended Me, wonderful series, did a terrific performance. I've enjoyed his work for years. He is now doing, he's now co-hosting Inside the Black Box, which was a very, very groundbreaking series for Crackle, the mega content service from Chicken Soup for the Soul Entertainment. It's coming back next Black History Month in February. And I have to say, hearing him is really something special. He is somebody who has been around many, many blocks. And no matter where you see him and how you see him, he always gives a great performance.
Mm. Yeah, I have to say that some of my favorite interviews this year as well are some of the roundtable interviews that we had for Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month, for Hispanic Heritage Month, for Pride Month. I always try and you know, assemble these small groups of actors and creatives from entertainment to have a more sort of inclusive conversation, a more open dialogue about a lot of different things. And those are always some of my favorite ones. It takes a village to put those together because of schedules and availability and, you know, getting in touch with half a dozen publicists and managers and all of that. But those conversations are always just delightful to have and most of them, you know, realize after the episode's done, we're done recording, but we're still on the Zoom call, that they've never had these sort of conversations before. They've never either been asked to be in interviews like a roundtable, or they've just never seen one. You usually only see roundtables during award season, where they'll have, you know, the big contenders for best actor, best supporting actress, and the director's roundtable. But, you know, those roundtables, unfortunately, are still overwhelmingly white and male. So they're not always in the conversation. So I always make it a mission of mine to have these very inclusive conversations, especially with a show called Multicultural TV Talk. You want to live up to the name. And to our logo, I keep the pride flag in our logo year-round. I don't like to, you know, only put it up for June and then take it off after. I like to leave it up year-round because as a queer person myself, I like to be able to have those conversations as well about queer representation in media as well. But those roundtable episodes are some of my favorites. And I've had a few actors ask to come back. They'll always say, if there's another one coming up, please let me know. I'd love to do this again. It's great to hear that.
We're speaking with Juan Ayala. He is one of the great Media Village columnists. He is also the host of the very popular Multicultural TV Talk video series, which we now only see at Media Village website, but also on many of the sites that we are on with this program, like Spotify and other podcast locations as well. And if you have a question or comment on Many Minutes with Juan, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up in our next half hour, we have one more classic trivia winner for you. We'll tell you who it is and the correct answer to the question we've been posing the last 2 weeks. Also, I've got five or six predictions of how I think television 2023 will go. We'll also give you our annual top five episodes of the year, the episodes you like the most based on Blog Talk Radio replays. and what we accomplished this year and what we didn't and where we want to go next year. That's all coming up in our next half hour. One thing you just pointed to is that when we talk about diversity now, it is not just about people of color. It is about the gay and lesbian transgender community. It's also about the community of the disabled. We saw a lot of breakthroughs in that community also, such as the Jason Kadam series on Prime Video, As We See It. I'm really sorry I did not get a second season. I thought I deserved it. It's on a lot of 10 best lists or top 25 lists. And I have a hunch that you're going to see more in that community as well as the gay, lesbian, transgender community as well, both in terms of individual shows and maybe new services.
Yeah, I think that that's incredibly important and impactful for people to see themselves represented who live with disabilities and who are part of the queer community and a number of other marginalized groups. I do want to shout out actress Alacqua Cox, who made her acting debut in Hawkeye, the Marvel Plus series. She plays Maya Lopez, who is a deaf character, and Alacqua herself also has a prosthetic leg. And, you know, what they did with that series and the character and was just incredible. And I'm so excited for her upcoming solo series, Echo. So Alacqua is also part of the Indigenous community, and they have a mostly Indigenous lead cast, with the exception of Vincent D'Onofrio, who is part of the series. But again, seeing the level of representation and authenticity that so many networks, but Disney especially, is spearheading, has been so wonderful to see. And I'm also rather bummed that there's a series on Netflix that starred an actor who's part of the disabled community as well. It was just a wonderfully charming series. It was a romantic comedy series. It was very brief episodes, and I got two seasons, and of course it got canceled on Netflix, but Netflix seems very hard to please when it comes to renewals. And I do hope that they do give more actors like Ryan O'Connor opportunities like that. But he's currently on the revival on Peacock, I believe, the name is escaping me. So sorry. But again, seeing the level of representation that has occurred has been so wonderful to see for the disabled community and for the queer community as well. And I hope that folks are given more of a chance to represent their own communities.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Netflix, one of the shows that I really liked that also did not go very far beyond the first season was Partner Track, which started out, at least in publicity, about Asian-American trying to make it up the ladder in the law firm, played by Arden Cho, who's one of my picks for breakout star of 2022. But it actually turned out to be three stories about people trying to get up the track, including one African-American and one gay or lesbian. And I thought the show was really terrific. Georgia Lee, the creator of the program, was on our show. I thought it deserved a second season. I know a lot of people really enjoyed the program. I know it got mixed reviews. Was there a TV show that you were, you know, pulling for that did not make it this year that you wish did?
I do want to just echo that sentiment. I really enjoyed Partner Track. I was surprised at how much I enjoyed it because, you know, a lot of sort of romantic comedy type of shows, which that was, it was the story, as you said, of a young woman trying to climb this corporate ladder, but also a romantic comedy. There's multiple love interests and all of that, and I was surprised at how much I enjoyed it. I thought it would be a bit formulaic, but it really was wonderful to see. And Desmond Cheam is the sort of rising star that I've really enjoyed his work as well. He was in a series on Amazon on a Prime Video called With Love. He was in The Falcon and Winter Soldier on Disney Plus, which is part of the MCU. Excited to see where his career goes as well as Arden, because she was delightful on that show. And I'm happy that she's in a leading role now, considering how underutilized she was during her time on Teen Wolf. And of course there was, you know, headlines were made of the unfair pay that she experienced compared to the rest of her co-stars. And I think that's insane and ridiculous. And I'm happy that she had her chance to lead a series. And I thought she was wonderful in that. As far as shows that there weren't too many disappointing cancellations, though I was very surprised to hear that Minx, despite wrapping production on season two, was just axed by HBO Max. There have been so many cancellations by HBO Max this year, and not just cancellations, but programs being pulled off the platform entirely. is very surprising and not necessarily a smart move. I don't see how, you know, when they first did their first sort of purge of removing content, their you know, stocks fell tremendously. So I don't necessarily see how them trying to trim the budget that way helped in the long run. There was a delightful show that I did get to attend the premiere of in New York City, The Gordita Chronicles on HBO Max.
Yeah.
I thought that show was just adorable and so delightful and so many young stars in the making. I was so upset when they did not get a second season. And I'm not sure if it happened already, but they're also getting pulled off of HBO Max entirely. So there will be no evidence of that show existing. These shows don't get put on DVD or available anywhere else. So it's rather heartbreaking that such a great program is being erased completely from streaming. And I'm very upset by that. And it was very unfortunate. I wish that it got another season because it was just so well done and so such a lovely story.
It is, Juan. We had the creator of the show on, and I agree with you. I thought that it was very unfairly pulled by HBO Max because it's all, you know, we don't want family programming on now because of the, I mean, I think both of us know that Warner Bros. Discovery is having huge operational issues. They realize that AT&T financially drove WarnerMedia into the ground before it was acquired by Discovery last spring, and now David Zaslav and crew have to cut like maybe $4 or $5 billion in operating expenses off. And Gordita was caught in that. And I hope Sony will give the show another chance. It was really marvelous. Before we go, a couple of other things I want to get into very briefly. I thought this was a big year for Spanish language television. There's more competition to Univision now. Univision Televisa and Telemundo with new players like Canela TV, Estrella TV, Nuestra TV, and so on. And I thought that Telemundo hit it big with two projects. One, the World Cup coverage, which I thought was fantastic, which was simulcast on Peacock, which now has the T-Plus thing, and also La Reina del Sur Part 3, which I thought was the best yet. And it finally, Telemundo is doing telenovelas where you don't have music slapped on, where you don't have music put in like every 30, 45 seconds into a scene. And I thought Kate Lucia's performance deserves an Emmy nomination next year.
Yeah, I completely agree. She is an absolute revelation. To come back to the role after such a long time, back when season 2 came in, you know, it was sort of the first time that it is rather rare in Spanish language television, at least in the U.S. or U.S.-based networks, to renew shows because they just sort of have like that one arc and then that's it. They'll do, you know, around 40 to 50 episodes, 5 a week for a short amount of time, and then that's it. But bringing that back was just such a smart move, and it paid off because it was, if I'm not mistaken, the premiere was like the hot, maybe the most watched program of the night, I think across networks or among the highest. And yeah, I definitely think that the Emmy Academy should consider Kate Castillo for an Emmy nomination. She's just tremendous in that role. She is the tour de force. And you watch her in interviews, she's the complete opposite of the character. You know, she's such a lovely person. I believe we met at an upfront presentation a couple of years ago when they first announced season 2 or the return of the show. A favorite of mine, which is a bilingual series, is on Apple TV Plus, Acapulco, which is just delightful.
Yeah.
Another sort of feel-good series and such a delightful young cast and the authenticity coming in through all of them. I've interviewed a number of the stars of the series on Multicultural TV Talk, and Fernando Garza has become a friend of sorts because he's been on all of my podcasts on my other show, Actors with Issues, as well. And he's just talked about how life-changing the experience has been and how it's wonderful to be part of positive representation for the Mexican community, to not be tied up in the cartel or anything like that otherwise would not shine a positive light on them. And that's definitely one of my favorite shows. And, of course, there's a ton of Spanish language shows that are imported from Spain for Netflix. There's Elite, there's Money Heist. So many to choose from. There's a lot of wonderful Spanish language content out there. It's very exciting.
So Juan, before we go, let's trade a thought on this. What would you like to see happen on the diversity front for TV next year? What would be your big thing to watch?
I think the biggest one is to diversify the writers' rooms. so that you have fresh perspective that can relate to the character and to your audience, because, you know, especially, you know, Gen Z, young millennials, they can smell, their BS meter is like state of the art. They can smell BS a mile away. They know when they're being pandered to. They know when things are not authentic and genuine. So I think that you really have to diversify your creative team as much as possible. And I think that that goes back even to network executives, people who greenlight these series. Are they part of diverse communities that they would understand where their show is coming from? If it's a complete outsider, they might not get it. And I've been told by a number of showrunners that they would pitch shows and basically a network executive or a studio executive would say, well, I don't get it. We're not going to greenlight it for whatever reason. And I think that that is definitely where things have to move in 2023 and beyond, is diversifying the creative team, because then you'll get that level of authenticity and representation you want in front of the camera as well.
Yeah. For me, a breakout of programming services featuring Asian Americans. We were going to have a network coming out by the end of the year, Chime TV, that the Charter Communications Spectrum cable system around the country would carry. It looked like that is going to happen the first 3 months of next year. We had, by the way, the CEO on our program. Also, there's a website called JoySource Network. If you haven't seen it, Juan, you got to see this. It's great, and I think, and we have the people behind that service on, and I think that that is going to break out into a television service next year. It's really good. They're doing both scripted and unscripted programming. They're featuring really exciting Asian Americans that are on their way up, and I think it'd be great. And also, I'm pulling for Kung Fu to keep on the CW in spite of what they're facing next year. I like the show. It's my favorite CW show. Christina Kim, the creator of the program, based on the famous 1970 series from Warner Brothers, was on our show last year. And you have the stars, Olivia Young and one of the other people on, and they're great. They are breaking Asian American stars left and right on that program.
Yeah, that is definitely one of my favorite CW shows. It's not my favorite as of now. Yes, I've had a number of them on the show. We had Eddie Liu. It was one of our first guests on Multicultural TV Talk about a year and a half ago at this point. I think he was like maybe our fifth or sixth guest on the show. I had Ludi Lin recently on my other podcast, Actors with Issues. He was in the Mortal Kombat film. He was in the Power Rangers film a few years ago. And he was sort of one of the new characters that came in season one and two on Kung Fu. And, you know, they've talked about just how wonderful of a showrunner and human being that Christina Kim is. And I know her from her Blind Spot days. And, of course, Martin Garrow, the creator of Blind Spot, is one of the executive producers on Kung Fu as well. And such a wonderful creative team they have. And it, you know, just shows why the show is so successful and why it's so well received by audiences and why it's a fan favorite. That level of authenticity is there, because it's all these people who are so invested in the show that are in front of the camera and running the show behind.
Yeah, and what they've done is they have turned it into a Asian American family drama, and within that framework, mm-hmm. they've been able to explore some very important issues, including race relations, including hate crimes. They really have been on top of the ball on a number of issues impacting Asian Americans with that show. And I'm just hoping that Nexstar, now that they are the CW owners, will keep that show going, because it is a terrific and very underrated show, I think, in many respects.
Yeah, completely agree. I do hope that they do that they keep the show around. It's a bit scary time over there right now, because you're not sure what's going to get the act. But I do hope that they keep the show around. I think it definitely deserves to stay.
Mm. And if you want to catch Juan Ayala's work at Media Village, both his columns and his multicultural TV talk video series, which is marvelous, go to MediaVillage.com at www.MediaVillage.com. You can also check him out on various podcast locations, including many of the ones that we are on, including Spotify and others as well. Once again, it's www.MediaVillage.com. I promise you, when you read Juan's work or you watch his programming, it's really terrific, and it's worth your while a lot. Juan, have a wonderful New Year ahead. Thank you for being our final guest of the year. It's been a pleasure all the way. Let's do this again soon. And to you and your family and everybody you work with at Media Village, all the very best for a fantastic year ahead.
Thanks so much, Simon. Take care. Happy New Year.
You too. And again, Feliz Año Nuevo, a big one. You too. Juan Ayala from Media Village joining us live from New York. When we come back, our new classic trivia winner, our final one of the year, you'll find out who it is and the big answer to the question, plus some TV predictions for next year and much, much more. But first, we pause after the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, Spreaker.com, Tune.com. Together, reaching over 75 million listeners around the world every month and growing. If you love fantastic radio from the 1940s and 50s, Erie House is your cup of tea. And today, they have a very special Eve Before New Year's Eve edition. It's not just horror this time, it's comedy, including great episodes of Fibber McGee and Molly and the Jack Benny program. That's Erie House today at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And don't forget, best BTR 24/7, round the clock, on YouTube at YouTube.com. Remember, YouTube is also available on smart TV sets, smart TV devices, multi-channel bundles. Welcome back to the second half of our final episode of Tomorrow Be Televised for 2022. In vivo, live from New Weber, York. Simon, I'm on with you live from the Big Apple. And if you have a question or comment in our final 25 minutes or so, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Time now for our final classic trivia segment of the year. And I'm delighted to tell you that we have our final classic trivia winner of the year. His name is Matt Veasey, V-E-A-S-E-Y, from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Matt, congratulations. Our two prizes are now on the way by mail to you. One is Taylor Swift's marvelous Speak Now CD featuring a big hit, Sparks Fly, and other wonderful tunes. And from Sheldon Epps, the TV and theatrical director that we had in this program earlier this month, his great new book, My Own Direction, about an African-American dealing in the world of theater. The question we had over the last 2 weeks was this. On The Walking Dead, Rick Grimes was sheriff at what location? We wanted both the exact location and the state. The answer, King, that's K-I-N-G singular, King County, Georgia. That's King County, Georgia. That was Rick Grimes' sheriff location on The Walking Dead. And Matt Veasey from Philadelphia got it, so the prizes are going out to him. Matt, congratulations to you. I hope you enjoy your prizes and have a wonderful new year. And I want to wish all a great new year to all of our classic trivia winners of this past year. We had more than ever before. By the way, Matt was our third winner in 6 weeks. We had a number of times we had like two winners in a row, three winners in a row. And, of course, we want to thank all the people that we worked with to submit prizes to our participants. Thank you so much for your wonderful cooperation and your wonderful prizes. And, of course, we'll be back next week with a brand-new classic trivia question, our first of 2023. We'll have it on our first episode of the year on Tuesday afternoon, and we'll give you the question. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. And if you're first with the correct answer, you will win a great prize, maybe two, maybe more. We'll see. And if we don't get a winner by the end of Tuesday, we'll post a question Wednesday morning on Facebook and on Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. That's UBC Simon, TWBT. As we say around here, in order to win, you got to play in. So do so Tuesday when 2023 comes your way, and all the very best. This past Monday, we had our regular annual feature, Tomorrow Will Be Televised Remembers, where we say a wonderful farewell and a great tribute to the men and women in front of and behind the camera who passed away this year. And as always, there is a possibility that after we do our thing, there's someone else that should be added to the list. And we do have that person. Her name is Ellie Landau. She passed away on Tuesday. And she was one of the pioneering TV executives of all time. She, along with her husband, Eli Landau, a very famous film and theater producer, put together a company called National Telefilm Associates. It was a programming service that operated in the late 1950s and the early 1960s. And Ellie was executive vice president. So in retrospect, she may have been the first female television executive of a programming service. And what NTA did was supply programming to fill the primetime viewing schedules of various stations, both network-affiliated and independent, network being, of course, CBS, NBC, and ABC at the time. The output included a very ambitious program called The Play of the Week. It was videotaped plays, both adaptations and original, that ran every week. There was the comedy series with 20th Century Fox based on the movie How to Marry a Millionaire. It was noted for being the first TV appearances of Barbara Eden, later to have big fame in I Dream of Jeannie in the 1960s. There was Sheriff of Cochise, later United States Marshal, featuring John Brumfield in sort of a Jack Webb-like character patrolling the area of Arizona in that territory in all sorts of crimes with the help of his fellow deputies. There was also Open End, the popular late-night series, so noted because the show would run 1-2 hours or more, depending on the topics, hosted by the famed producer David Susskind. It later became the David Susskind Show, and it was after NCAA folded, it was syndicated by Metro Media as a 2-hour late-night show to TV stations around the country, many of whom were public television, hosted again by Susskind. And also The Third Man, based on the famous Orson Welles movie, starring Michael Rennie as Harry Lime, and the one also had a wonderful supporting actor playing Brad Whitford, the guy who played Dr. Smith on Lost in Space. So anyway, that ran 4 seasons, and it was produced both in the United States and in England. It did quite well. Anyway, after Ellie Lando had her run at NTA, she then, with her husband, put together a series of independently made motion pictures. One of them was the Academy Award-nominated Long Day's Journey in Tonight, with a great cast led by Katherine Hepburn, who won an Oscar nomination for her performance in that film. And in the 1970s, the Landaus created one of the most ambitious projects in film history, the American Film Theater. It was a subscription series where you had adaptations of famous plays and some originals that were presented on an every month, every 2 month basis. Some of the movies were The Iceman Cometh, The Man in the Glass Booth, Galileo, great cast. Some of the films were Oscar nominated in various categories, including acting, directing, and writing. And it ran for 2 seasons, with I believe like 14, 15 movies in the series. When that was over, Landau in the 1980s got into producing made-for-TV movies for HBO, some of which were award-winning, both Emmys and Peabody's. And finally, she had a great career as a poet and a teacher on the West Coast. Ellie Landau, our final tomorrow-be-televised candidate for 2022, who passed away earlier this week. Well, we promised you that we would have some predictions for 2023, and I'm going to give you 6. These are predictions I think will take place in television this coming year. The first one, the new channels keep coming. I'm talking about new programming services that will be available to you on smart TV sets, smart TV devices, and multi-channel bundles. They will keep coming. A lot of them will. Some of them will feature original programming. Some will feature library or archive content, not only from the United States, but from all over the world. And some of these channels will be made specifically for people who use Samsung, Vizio, LG, Sony smart TV sets, or Roku and other smart TV devices like Apple TV set-top boxes. Yes, the new channels will keep coming, and they'll keep coming in a big, big way. Why? Because you're going to see more advertisers devote more advertising, taking it away from broadcast and cable networks and multicast networks and putting them on smart TV sets and smart devices, because that's how people are watching television in a big, big way. Prediction number 2, all mega content services will come in 2 flavors, no ads or limited ads. We're talking 3 to 5 ads per hour. Of course, we had at the end of this year Netflix and Disney Plus do it. I think they'll get better at it. It's a crawl, walk, run game. I think both services will be better at it. More importantly, you will see, I think, by the end of this year, every service do it. As I mentioned last week, I think Apple TV Plus will join the parade by the end of next year. And I also think Apple TV will do one better. And that's my 3rd prediction. They will create a bundle. It will be a bundle of Apple TV Plus, Apple Fitness Plus, Apple Music, and Apple Arcade, the video game service. I think with more and more smart TV sets and smart TV devices, allowing with artificial intelligence and other technology the ability to watch and use the television set with your voice and with your body gestures, I think you will see Apple TV create this bundle, not just for Apple TV set-top boxes, but for all smart TV sets and smart TV set makers. And I think they will find a way to do advertising in it, not just on Apple TV Plus in a ad-supported format, but also maybe as advertising inserts in Apple TV and Apple Arcade games, maybe some ad relationships with Apple Fitness Plus, and so on. So that's prediction number 3. The Apple TV Plus bundle develops and happens. Number 4, interactive TV goes mainstream. We start to see that happen with interactive fitness services like Peloton and Beachbody and Apple Fitness Plus. And now we have Nike doing their thing with Netflix, even though that is not interactive. That is just workout videos pre-recorded in advance. And we also had more in the area of telehealth and teleeducation. But I think it's going to go further. I think you're going to see efforts to do original programming, both scripted and unscripted, in interactive formats. And I also think you're going to see more in terms of game hubs and also the introduction of GameStar Plus. That's the game show interactive service. We understand that next month Apple TV Plus will launch it, and we understand that other smart TV sets and devices will also launch it during the course of 2023. Steve Harvey, by the way, the host of Family Feud, other things, he is a major investor in that. There's also Fireside. We talked about this service over a year ago. We had one of the founders of the service on. The other founder is the shark himself, Mark Cuban, who's the owner of the Dallas Mavericks. And the folks at Fireside, which I think has done very well PCs and also on smartphones, they have made it clear we are going on the smart TV set. If they can get on really good carriage with those sets and devices, I think you will see multicultural interactive television really enter the mainstream. And that includes multicultural diversity interactive television. I think it will really happen and happen in a big way. And I also think you will see Amazon finally make the move and make Twitch an interactive television service. There's been sort of hush-hush thoughts about it. I think they'll finally come clean and do it. And I could see Amazon do a bundle where you have Twitch, you have Amazon Freevee, and Prime Video all together. Number five, smart TV sets become a smart home or apartment hub. We may see something like this happen next week at CES 2023. Here's the idea. Your smart television set, with all the interactive things going on and all the new services you can get, it will become a way that you can control a lot of other things in your home or apartment. We're talking about your air conditioning, your ability to interact with other appliances, whether it's your refrigerator, your freezer, your washer dryer, your lights, your home video equipment, your home security system, your video doorbell, and much more. Keep your eye on Wednesday, because that's the day that a lot of the smart TV set makers are going to make announcements during their Media Day presentations in Las Vegas. And Samsung in particular, which has this software called SmartThings, they have been making noise that in their presentation next Wednesday, I believe it's going to be Wednesday afternoon, Las Vegas time, early evening, Eastern time, that they will pull the trigger and come up with a smart home product through the television set to make their smart TV set a smart home hub. If they do it, chances are the other smart TV makers and devices like Roku and Apple TV will fall in line as well. And finally, this is what my offbeat prediction of the year, Walmart will try TV again. You know, Walmart has sort of been the last couple of years with Vudu, with their buy of Echo, the interactive service, which they paid $250 million for several years ago, and they still haven't pulled the trigger on it to make it a television service. I think Walmart is really thinking again, particularly with this experiment they're doing with Roku, where you can order products and services from Walmart and maybe soon other retailers and other advertisers through the television set, not with a smartphone, not with a tablet, not with a PC, not with a QR code, through the television set. And if that works, I think it's going to rekindle Walmart's interest in doing television of some kind, maybe finally pulling the trigger on Echo, its interactive TV property. We will see. So there you have it, my 2023 TV predictions. The new channels keep on coming through smart TV sets, smart devices, and multi-channel bundles. All mega content services will come in two flavors, commercial-free or with limited commercial interruption, 3 to 5 minutes, with a particular interruption lasting no longer than 60 or 90 seconds. Apple TV Plus will determine it will have a bundle. In addition to making Apple TV Plus a service with limited commercial interruption, they will do a bundle with Apple Music, Apple Arcade, their game service, and Apple Fitness Plus. Interactive TV goes mainstream with help from projects like GameStar Plus, Fireside, and Twitch. Smart TV sets become and devices become smart TV home or apartment hubs, and Walmart will make another effort to make a TV to have a, be a force in television. And that is our predictions for TV 2023. Every year around this time, we also do something special. We do a top five episodes of the year. Now, these are the episodes you like the most based on the replay action we got on Blog Talk Radio. And obviously, it does not include our other podcast sites. It does include our website, tomorrowbetelevised.onpodium.com. So here you have it, countdown of the top five Tomorrow Be Televised episodes you make happen this year. In the number five position, our two-hour episode on September 16th, where we featured Hearst Very Local service that's available on smart TV sets and devices. We had TV Coins, the platform to get new programming services off the ground from all over the world. We had the Handball Channel chief executive, and we had FanDuel TV, formerly TVG, the old horse racing channel. Now it's FanDuel TV, which includes sports betting information, sports news coverage, and other sports beyond horse racing. And they also have a Netflix-like mega content service as well. In the number four position, our January 28th episode, we featured the animated series Real Wild One, Doomlands, and also Brack TV, the very popular Gen X, Gen Y web channel, became a TV channel through smart TV sets and devices. Our number three episode, earlier in January, January 19th to be exact, where we had Fraggle Rock, the executive producer of Apple TV Plus's return of Fraggle Rock, Back to the Rock, did very, very well coming back for a second season. We also had the creators of Cyber Chase, the very popular PBS series, and another one of my favorite episodes this year with the writer of the book, The Twilight Zone Companion, popular science fiction TV writer Mark Scott Sacree, talking about his work with his proposed series Space Command and his big project, the Showrunners Network. Hopefully that is still in play, and I'd love to have Mark on next year again to talk about where he's at with that project. It's really, really exciting. And if it happens, I think it'd be a big leap for science fiction on television. In the number two position, and I know my parents will like this, our April 25th episode that kicked off with an exclusive interview with the writer-producer of the acclaimed HBO made-for-TV movie, The Survivor, featuring an incredible performance by Ben Foster, which should have won an Emmy Award, playing a Holocaust survivor. And also the TLC series, My Feet Are Killing Me. We have the executive producer of that program on. And it was one of three episodes, by the way, to have more than 100 replays this year. And finally, the number one episode, we did earlier this month, and it really turned out to be a whale of an episode. It was the episode featuring the new company MVP Kids TV, which is going to first develop new children's family-friendly series for various services and then do its own thing with its own programming service. We had the executive producer and one of the voice artists of the Netflix version of My Little Pony, the long-running animated series, and we had two of the winners of the Catalyst TV Festival earlier this fall in Duluth, Minnesota, the two women behind the series Sugar Babies. That particular episode is still getting replays. We have had over 300 so far on Blog Talk Radio alone, and that really is very, very special. There you have it, our top five episodes of Tomorrow Be Televised for 2022. And so we are about to bring this year's collection of Tomorrow Be Televised Live episodes to a close. And I thought it might be nice to let you know what we accomplished this year and what we didn't and where we want to accomplish next year. One of the things we wanted to accomplish this year was to get on more podcast locations and to expand our podcast distribution. And we did. This year alone, we had Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iTunes, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Acast, Reason, now Podvine.com, and Verbal all join our family. And we want to say thank you to each and every one of those podcast destinations for taking us. It's been a pleasure. We love the reaction. Thanks to all of you who listened through those particular podcast destinations. And thank you for supporting us, encouraging them to take our show on. We also hope to have a website that people could check out our shows on a regular basis and maybe even communicate with us. And we did, thanks to a wonderful organization headed by guitarist Bakus called On Podium. We got it. Tomorrow will be televised on podium.com. It is a wonderful site. Guitarist and his group do a really outstanding job. They also offer a question box on the home screen where you can put questions in, and if we use the questions on the air, you get the credit. So thank you, guitarist, for a wonderful job at On Podium, and more to say about On Podium in a little bit. Something else we also wanted to do was to originate this show not just from where I live, but also from a regular location. And that we didn't accomplish. We had hoped there were two possibilities this year. One was Netflix's new studios in Brooklyn, in the Greenpoint area, where they now are producing television shows and feature films. And unfortunately, we were turned down. The other place that we had hoped for was the new Made in New York Production Center, which is located in the Bush Terminal in Industry City, fast-growing area of Brooklyn. It is, we are happy to say that while the building, and why we didn't get there, well, the building did not open up as it was going to. We thought it was going to, it didn't. Good news, the facility is going to open up next year. We don't know yet the date. We do know Sinus Studios, which has one of the largest production facilities for film and television in Brooklyn and in New York City, is now running the place. They are fast trying to construct the facility and make it work. We have no word from the Mayor's Office of Media Entertainment here in New York about when it's going to open up, but I hope it does, because it is on track to finally open at the Bush Terminal, and it's going to be a real job creator for New York City and for the TV industry as a whole. And also, something else we didn't accomplish was to have some wonderful guests on that we really wanted. We really wanted Byron Allen to come on. We wanted Tyler Perry to come on. We wanted more of the Apple TV Plus shows to come on. We did get some of them. And unfortunately, we didn't get many of them. And I hope that that will change next year. We really wanted, I'm very happy that for our 50th, another accomplishment, we celebrated 15 years on the air, first Monday of August, and I'm thrilled that we had the head of programming for Lifetime, Amy Winner, and Ryan Chinatry, the general manager at Mega Content Service Topic. They both had hour-long chats with us. We really appreciate it. It was wonderful. Fonts was terrific. And I hope that we will, again, try to do big wigs for our anniversary episode. We wanted people like David Zaslav and Tyler Perry and so many other major big wigs. As I said, Byron Allen. We wanted the head of Televisa Univision on the show. And many, many more great people to come on. And I hope they will next year. We tried, and we didn't accomplish it. Now, what about in the year to come? We hope to have more podcast sites. We're trying to get Audible and many other sites on, and much, much more. So anyway, we are about to close the book on 2022. So before we do, I want to let you know, we are going to be on again next Monday, next Tuesday and Friday, next Tuesday and Thursday, that's January 5th and January, that's January 3rd and 5th, next Tuesday and Thursday, hour-long edition on Tuesday, 2 hours on Thursday. Thank you to everybody who makes this program possible. We want to thank, of course, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, all of our podcast stations, On Podium, all of our guests, all of the PR people we work with, and also everybody who donated prizes to the show. And most importantly, thank you. You out there. You make this show happen. You make it fly. And thanks to you, everything willing, we'll be here for another great year of covering TV's current and future. But tomorrow we televised. I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening today and all year long. Have a wonderful new year and a great 2023. Whatever you want in life, you cause it this coming year, and you cause it to the max, and a whole lot more. We'll be back next Tuesday and Thursday when 2023 opens. You know where? Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune Radio, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. And remember, whatever you want between now and then, please make it safe. Have a safe and sound New Year's Eve, and make it great to the max. Until the next time, next year, stay well, and stay tuned.